From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for today is Micah chapter 2 and verse 10. Arise ye, and depart. The hour is approaching when the message will come to us as it comes to all. Arise, and go forth from the home in which thou hast dwelt, from the city in which thou hast done thy business, from thy family, from thy friends. Arise, and take thy last journey. And what know we of the journey? And what know we of the country to which we are bound? A little we have read thereof, and somewhat has been revealed to us by the Spirit. But how little do we know of the realms of the future! We know that there is a black and stormy river called death. God bids us cross it, promising to be with us. And after death, what cometh? What wonder world will open upon our astonished sight? What scene of glory will be unfolded to our view? No traveler has ever returned to tell. But we know enough of the heavenly land to make us welcome our summons thither with joy and gladness. The journey of death may be dark, but we may go forth on it fearlessly, knowing that God is with us as we walk through the gloomy valley, and therefore we need fear no evil. We shall be departing from all we have known and loved here, but we shall be going to our Father's house, to our Father's home, where Jesus is, to that royal city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This shall be our last removal, to dwell forever with him we love, in the midst of his people, in the presence of God. Christian, meditate much on heaven. It will help thee to press on and to forget the toil of the way. This vale of tears is but the pathway to the better country. This world of woe is but the stepping stone to a world of bliss.
Shout, oh glory, glory, for we'll
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues this series in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, in a message called, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. The law shows the sinner his need to be freed from what is essentially a covenant with death, but it can do nothing to effect that deliverance. Only the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross can free a person from the penalty of his sin which the law demands. As Dr. Cairns is explaining, Romans 7 declares that Christians are living under the grace of God, not under the law. Furthermore, this new life is not intended to be unproductive. Believers are to bring forth the fruit of holiness, for having been saved, they are now united to Christ in a covenant of love and life. the risen and victorious Christ gives to his people his name, his possessions, and his righteousness. Now, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, free from the law, O happy condition.
Who can tell the love of Christ toward his church? He loved his church, and he gave himself for it. Who can describe that love? How can we ever come to any appropriate conception of that love? We can use human terminology, get as close as we can, but when we have done so, we're like a little child with a little bucket and spade, and we're at the edge of the great Atlantic Ocean, and we're trying to put the ocean in the bucket. We can't ever come to a true conception of the magnitude and the majesty of the love of God in Jesus Christ. That God's dear Son would be wedded to us. That's amazing. Have you ever read that book of Hosea? You know, the book of Hosea is so radical that to this day, commentators and translators and scholars argue over whether Hosea actually had to marry a harlot or whether he didn't. But whatever's happening to Hosea, do you see the message? God came down into the world. He didn't effect a marriage between his son and the holy angels. He didn't set up a wedded bliss between Christ and heavenly beings who had never sinned. He went down into the cesspool of their sin, and he found them in their filth and their wickedness and their hellish ungodliness. And he took them out, and he purchased them with his blood, and he washed them in his blood, and he sanctified them with his blood. And then he united them to himself, meeting their covenant with the law and shattering it by death. He united them to himself in a union of everlasting life and everlasting love. Oh, the love that Jesus had for me to suffer on that cruel tree. It's more than tongue can tell. In that love, he gives us his name. I know that in this day of anti-Christian apostasy, women assert their, quote, freedom. Actually, it's their bondage. By effecting marriages but never taking their husband's name. It's just an indication that the marriage union and the family bond is almost unknown to them. But when we are wedded to Christ, we take his name. We are known in heaven by his name. Would you want any other name? He not only gives us his name, he enriches us with his possessions. Just as he died to take all my ill desert upon himself, so he gives to us all that he deserves. What has Christ earned by his living and by his dying? What has Christ earned? There is a glory that belongs to him, essentially as the second person of the Trinity. That glory can never be ours. We can never participate in that glory, for it belongs to deity. But there is a glory that he has earned. There are possessions that he has deserved by his living and by his dying. Now, what did Christ earn? And understand this. He needed nothing. He didn't earn it for himself. He earned it for his people. And he now enriches his bride with all the possessions that he has earned by his righteousness unto blood. Then he invests her with all his righteousness. In the words of Isaiah, he clothes her with the garments of salvation and with the robe of righteousness. He gives us a description of her prophetically through the psalmist. when he speaks of the king's daughter, and he says concerning her that the king shall greatly desire thy beauty. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That the King of Glory would ever look at you or me and see any beauty that he would desire. The king shall greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. He invests us with the very righteousness of Christ. He has broken our covenant with the law by his dying and our dying in him. He has wedded us to Christ in a union of love and life and real liberty. Oh yes, we are slaves to grace, but that is real liberty. As you see from the final thing that I want to say, and it's this, that the purpose and the product of this union is fruit unto God, which is genuine holiness. You see, far from this doctrine of free justification leading to lax views of sin, it alone can produce true holiness. Union with Christ is the key to holiness of life. Do you remember John 15? Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. That's union. He says, abide in me. That's communion. And what's the result? Fruit. Fruit. More fruit. And much fruit. Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. The only fruit unto God that can be seen in a Christian's life is the result of union with Jesus Christ. Being wedded to Christ, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. And you'll notice what it says at the end of verse 6. This is done. We're united to Christ that we should serve in newness of spirit. Now that's a precise translation. The word spirit in the Greek text has no definite article in front of it. And yet I believe that it's not speaking of newness of spirit, that is, with a new attitude, which is what this would lead you to believe. I believe this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. It's the newness that the Holy Spirit communicates, not in the oldness of the letter. Now let's understand this. Many people take this and similar statements about the oldness of the letter as meaning that we don't anymore have to serve in strictness. You know, if you have strict standards nowadays, you're a legalist. You hear that all the time. You're a legalist if you have strict standards. You want to go out and drink beer, you're a Christian. But you want to say I'm a teetotaler, you're a legalist. How cock-eyed and crazy have people become? I take it you understand the word cock-eyed. It's not a British one. I see Susan saying yes, so yes you do. After nearly 25 years, I still don't speak the same language. But let me get this to you. This oldness of the letter has nothing to do with strict obedience. I mean, is there a Christian anywhere who can honestly sit down and think this through and say, oh yes, the Lord wants me to be generally obedient to him, but not strictly so? I mean, is there anybody can actually think that way? Come on, you husbands. Well, I expect my wife to be generally faithful to me, but not strictly so. Come on. I have not yet met a husband that crazy. Serving in the oldness of the letter is not serving strictly. It is serving under the covenant of the law, using your service as a way of acceptance, and we're free from that. But we should serve serve now in the new life that comes by the ministry of the Spirit of God as He applies Christ to our hearts. We are called to a life of fruit bearing. We now serve Him because we're saved, not to be saved. We serve Him because we live in the liberty of the spouse of Christ. We're free from the law. We're married to another. He is my beloved. He is mine. And I am His forever. Let me ask you tonight, is this your testimony? Is this your testimony? Have you ever been delivered from the law? Have you ever been brought beyond doing what you can to get to heaven? Have you ever been brought to an end of yourself and your own righteousness and your own merit before God to be wedded to Christ? Let me ask you honestly tonight, are you wedded to Christ? Is He your beloved? Are you in union with Christ? How do you get into union with Christ? We are all the children of God, Paul tells the Galatians, through faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you become united to Christ. The old Puritan type preachers would have spoken of faith as a uniting grace. Does the Holy Ghost produce faith unto God in you? Or fruit unto God in you? Because that's the major reason why He weds you to Christ. This is the beginning then of Romans 7. Let's get this first thing clearly in our minds, because from this the rest will flow. We once were bound as a wife to a husband. We were bound in covenant to the law, to our dread and death and damnation. Only death could sever that. If it was our death, naturally, it would be a death that would lead to the second death in hell, with the precept and the penalty of the law unsatisfied. But when Christ died, He satisfied the law. We died in Him, severing the connection with the law as a covenant of works, and establishing our union with Christ. That, my friend, that is what God does when He sets a believer free from the law. That's why I call that, as did P.P. Bliss, a happy condition. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, do bless Thy word to every heart, we pray. We thank Thee for our heavenly Bridegroom. We bless Thee, our Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied God's law. We bless Thee that He fulfilled it, He established it, but He set us free from the covenant that for us was a covenant of death. We thank Thee that He brought us into the bliss of a wedded union with Himself, of life and of love and of liberty. O God, grant that Thou wilt make our union with Christ a fruitful one. We pray, produce much fruit, holiness unto the Lord. That fruit of the Spirit, that love and joy and peace, that blessed fruit of Christ-likeness in the life, that fruit of a life in a world of sin that reflects the beauty and the glory of our heavenly Bridegroom. O Lord, we thank Thee that nothing can break this union with Christ. We thank Thee, our God, that it is a union that lasts forever. We have thought tonight of that great vision in the final book of the Bible of the Lamb's wife. We think of the beautiful picture of Christ sitting down with His people at the marriage supper of the Lamb. O Lord, we thank Thee that this union is forever. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word, therefore, to every heart. And if there are those here without Christ, Lord, bring them to the Savior. O God, break their covenant with death and bring them into the covenant of life and grace in Christ. And O Lord, we pray for those who are saved, that we may learn to live in the liberty becoming the spouse of Christ. Part us now with Thy blessing and keep us in Thy fear. Grant that the grace, mercy, and peace of our triune God will be our portion now and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name, giving Thee our thanks. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.